Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today. As always, we'd like to let you know that typically these services are 10:30 on Sunday mornings in a Zoom format. But on the first Sunday, which is what this is, we have this service both in person and on Zoom. So hopefully you have been looking at your e-newsletter, a weekly update, and are actually in service with us today in person. But otherwise, on other Sundays, you can catch us at 10:30 on Sunday morning in Zoom, where you can listen to the message, the meditation, music, interact with other Unity folks. So, you know, if you're not in service with us today, we look forward to seeing you at least on Zoom next week. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. Now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now the daily word reading for today, Sunday, February the 4th. The key word is joy, and the affirmation is joy is mine through all the seasons of life. Throughout my life, joy is always part of me. Like the sun that is always shining even when obscured by clouds, joy is there in my happiest moments and also during my darker times. It keeps me present to life as it unfolds, responsive and adaptive, accepting what I cannot change and having the courage to change what I can. Much more than a feeling, joy is a part of me, a way to feel the presence of God and live from my spirituality. Joy is the anchor that keeps me rooted in peace and wholeness, and the wings that help me soar through the open skies of imagination and choice. My spiritual identity has its foundation in the divine idea of joy, and I carry it with me wherever I go and in everything I do. The scripture reading is taken from Psalm 16:11, and it reads, "You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy." Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. So today we're going to go over kind of what we have been over in the past with some new, possibly new concepts added to this process. Because we're all trying to figure out how do we really get into this consciousness of what we talked about last week, the non-local mind, the area of pure potentiality. And so the exploration of this question, is our existence local or non-local or both, could be very significant to our quest for a spiritual understanding, especially as it applies to prayer. So as we explored in last week's lesson, directed prayer is asking God for what you know or what you're hoping is possible in your life. You ask God very specifically, God, you know, can you get me this job? Can you help me do this? Whatever. Can you heal me? All right. And it's typically the quest from our local mind. So directed prayer is typically the request from our local mind, okay, which is basically finite, meaning it has a perspective limited to what we know and understand as being in the realm of possibility for ourselves, okay? So in directed prayer, we're not only asking for what we think is possible. On the other hand, non-directed prayer is open to the infinite possibilities of the universe. It is non-local in nature. It is the willingness and the courage to step out of the bounds of our local mind and into the realm of pure potentiality. So in his book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, Deepak Chopra explains, thanks, sweetie. He said, the first spiritual law of success is the law of pure potentiality. This law is based on the fact that we are pure consciousness in our essential state. Pure consciousness is pure potentiality. It is the feel of all possibilities in infinite creativity. Pure consciousness is our spiritual essence. So being infinite and unbounded, it is our pure joy. Now, our other attributes of our consciousness are pure knowledge, infinite silence, perfect balance, invincibility, simplicity, and bliss. We're going to talk about those more in a little later. But this is our essential nature. Our essential nature, again, is one of pure potentiality. Now, for simplicity's sake, pure potentiality is accessed by the non-local mind using non-directed prayer. Okay? While perceived potentiality, what we can perceive of is our potential, is the realm of the local mind, the intellect, usually using directed prayer. Okay? So just think, have you ever had a moment where you reached the end of what you knew what to do, or the end of what you thought was possible, and just sat in a silence, not in a ritualistic way or purposeful way, but just out of physical, mental, emotional exhaustion? You know, you just exhausted everything you knew what to do. You know, if you were in person right at this moment, I'd ask how many people have reached that stage. And then something comes to you. You know, you just kind of sat down. Your mind has just gone blank. And then something comes to you, whether from within or outside of you, that showed you that something, shows you something you hadn't thought about. It's what we would say came out of the blue. Something that was unsearchable in your present state of mind. Something that gave you the next step. Okay. So whenever we shut down from our mental, emotional doingness, we mindfully or mindlessly enter into the silence, whether or not we meant to. And that's an important point to think about. So we are maybe, without knowing it, in a consciousness of non-directed prayer when we get to this point where we're sort of at the end of our rope. Okay. Now, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, he explains, because you know, this idea of getting into the silence, you know, a lot of us have challenge with that. He explains, even if you lie down in the shallowest pool of water, you will still get wet. Meaning the mere practice of taking time to be still, to be silent, will have a powerful positive effect whether or not you actually are mindful of the fact that this effect has happened. Okay? You will, to some degree, touch and be touched by the power within you. Now, that power being aspects of pure potentiality from your non-local mind entering into your local mind and giving you insight into possibilities you were not aware of. Okay? So now, combining the explanation for Maharishi with the statement made by Deepak Chopra that we have other attributes of consciousness, such as pure knowledge, the ability to achieve infinite silence, perfect balance, invincibility, simplicity, and bliss, we begin to understand that there is so much more to us than we had come to believe. See, our essential nature is one of pure potentiality, meaning nothing is held back from us. So the answer to the question is our existence local, non-local, or both? The answer, of course, is we access both, local and non-local. Okay? So think of the law of pure potentiality as a field of infinite possibilities. And if you're thinking, how do I intentionally access the field of pure potentiality? Okay? That would be something we would all want to know. So you have to do the work necessary to access it. And the work necessary keeps bringing us back to the same spiritual practices we always talk about. The work is the daily practice of prayer, meditation, and spending time in the silence. Okay? So we're always hearing about these daily practices, and yet for so many reasons, we either stop doing the practice or we never start. Okay? Now, here are some of the reasons that folks stop the spiritual practice for spending time daily in prayer and meditation. You know, lack of time, that's a big one for many. Nothing is happening. You've sat there, you've tried it, nothing happening. Maybe you're thinking, I'm doing something wrong. Maybe you have unrealistic expectations. That's why when you practice being in the silence and things come to you, you really should not run out and share that with people, because then they'll try it and they're hoping to have the same experience, okay? Also, it could be difficulty focusing. That's a big one. Physical or mental challenges that make it uncomfortable, external pressures, and on and on and on, okay? There are so many reasons that stop us or interfere with our ability to do that very important daily practice. And again, Maharishi, Mahesh Yogi, explains, but again, you know, you say, I don't have the time, you know, but maybe you spent 5 minutes on it, or just a few minutes. But remember what he said, even if you lie down in the shallowest pool of water, you will still get wet. Meaning that the mere practice of taking time to be still, no matter how short or how long, will have a powerful positive effect, whether or not you actually experience that effect. Okay? So you will, to some degree, touch and be touched by the power within you. Now, this is illustrated in a scripture that we all know, all right, scripture found in, well, it's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and I have the exact verses on the slide. But that scripture says, and behold, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garment. Now, for she said within herself, this is important, if I just but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. That was her faith. That was her belief, okay? But Jesus turned, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole, all right? And the woman was made whole in that very moment, okay? So, again, if we take into account the healing power of these two concepts, Maharishi's explanation of merely taking the time to be still, no matter how small, okay, and the healing that the one who merely touched the hem of Jesus' garment, we begin to understand that and experience the local and non-local impact of the power and presence of the divine energy within us and around us, just waiting for us to tap into it, okay? Now, according to Deepak and others, the local mind is often referred to as the ego mind or the thinking mind. The non-local mind is referred to as the feel of pure consciousness. You've heard us say in the past, the quantum mind, the universal mind. So the local mind is limited by time, space, and the physical brain. The non-local mind transcends time, space, and the limitations of the physical brain. The local mind is responsible for our individual thoughts, emotions, perceptions, and interpretations. The non-local mind is connected to all things and everyone through energetic fields, okay? So the local mind focuses on separation and individual identity. You know, this is me, that's you. The non-local mind represents unity, interconnectedness, and the potential for boundless awareness. So Deepak explains that there is no separation between you and this field of energy called the local mind, okay? This field of pure potentiality is yourself. And the more you experience your true nature in prayer or meditation, the deeper you enter into the non-local field of pure potentiality. Again, whether you realize it or not, okay? So Deepak explains two concepts or self-views that impact our personal and spiritual progress. Okay, these are two concepts. Our self-view, okay, that impact our personal and spiritual progress. The first self-view is what he calls self-referral. It's where we identify with our inner self, the unchanging essence of our soul. Self-referral is an internal state of well-being that doesn't depend on external circumstances. Self-referral is where you return within to our inner spirit and our own inner guide for guidance, a direction and guidance in all aspects of our life, regardless of what situations, circumstances, or people may be trying to influence us. Okay? Now, from an article that I found on a website called Mastermind Matrix, it gives a challenging explanation of what it looks like to live in a consciousness of self-referral. And again, I said, this is kind of a challenging explanation of what it looks like to live in a consciousness of self-referral. It explains that when you live through self-referral, nothing phases you. Okay, right off the bat, I know what I was thinking. Yeah, that's a whole lot to even think about that. It says that setbacks, problems, criticisms, rejections, mistakes, failures, loss, etc., none of these things phase you because you do not define yourself through external objects. As such, your fears are no longer enough to hold you back. Okay? You don't have a need for approval from others. There is no compulsion to control external circumstances, people, events, whatever. Instead, you just continue to be your authentic self. Now, however, the other psychological mindset, kind of the other side of self-referral, is what's called object referral. Okay, so object referral means you effectively define yourself through external objects. You know, you define yourself through people, situations, your title. You know, I'm a teacher, I'm a minister, I'm a doctor, whatever. You define yourself through your possessions and or your accomplishments. This is what I have done. Okay. Now, this is an unhelpful way to define yourself because by their very nature, objects change. This is what Deepak is saying. As such, when these changes take place, they affect how you see yourself. And they therefore affect your self-esteem. Okay. Now, again, going back to the article from Mastermind Matrix, the website, it's explaining, again, kind of a challenging thing to listen to, but just hear it and see how you feel about it. Okay. See, an object referral, you might, for instance, feel good about yourself when things are going well, when people compliment and praise you, and when your goals are being realized. However, when all of a sudden people start to criticize you, when you face setbacks, when you don't get what you want, you can start to feel insecure and your self-esteem suffers as a result, okay? But Deepak says, you know, to kind of counter this, Deepak says, your true self, which is your spirit, your soul, is completely free of those things. It's completely free of this object referral, of defining yourself by things outside of you. It is immune to criticism. It is unfearful of any challenge, and it feels beneath no one. Now, this is important. And yet, it is also humble and feels superior to no one because it recognizes that everyone else is the same self, the same spirit, but in different disguises. Okay. Now, keep in mind that as we explore these spiritual, metaphysical, self-concept ideas, there's always going to be the question of how. How do I reach the higher consciousness of living from self-referral instead of object referral? How do I reach the higher consciousness that would allow me to tap into the non-local mind of pure potentiality? Those are common questions. And yes, when we hear these things, about these possibilities of higher consciousness that exists within us, it may sound like an impossible task to get to that place. But keep in mind that once we have heard what we are spiritually capable of, okay, we cannot unhear it. Okay? Once we have heard what we are capable of, what we can do, we can't unhear that. So these thoughts come into our mind, they rattle around in our mind with our brain struggling to make sense of them, okay? This trying to make sense of it is a form of contemplation. Let me say this again. When we hear spiritual principles, metaphysical principles, that what we just heard about, you know, our self-concept, when we hear those, okay, and we are trying to make sense of them, It is a form of contemplation, which is the mental act of looking thoughtfully and deeply at something for a long time, which I believe we all have a tendency to do when we're presented with something that is outside of our typical realm of thought or knowledge. Okay? There are many times in activities of our lives that call for us to align with the power and presence from which everything in the universe is manifest. What we are calling in this lesson, the non-local mind of pure potentiality. But we can get so caught up in trying to apply the spiritual principles we studied, that we have lost sight of the need to just be still. Let me say it again. We can get so caught up, you know, in these times when really what's happening in our lives, we need to be able to tap into that non-local mind because our local mind is just not giving us the answer that we're looking for. Okay? So there are times we get so caught up in trying to apply these spiritual principles. Well, this is the principle I learned. Let me work with this affirmation. Let me do this. And we kind of get into this doing mode. Okay? But when we do that, sometimes we can lose sight of the need to just be still. Okay? So the daily practice of prayer, meditation, and mindfulness is the means by which we unstudy the spiritual ideals and concepts we have learned and just be still. Okay? The word unstudy means to not labor. Okay? So prayer, meditation, and being in the silence are a spiritual practice in which we are not trying to make sense of it all. Okay? In other words, letting go of wanting to know will lead you into a feel of pure potentiality. Let me say it again. When we're able to let go of trying to figure it out, trying to use all the things we've studied to work, get our minds in the right place, okay? Doing that and just being able to let go will lead you into the feel of pure potentiality, what we're calling in this lesson the non-local mind in which we are all connected. So I think we're all familiar with the necessity of the daily practices of being in silence. We know that. We talk about it every single week, okay? So we know what that is. And we know what that looks like. However, Deepak explains another way to access the feel of pure potentiality, okay? We talked about the idea of self-referral. So we disconnect ourselves from the objects outside of us that keep our mind in a turmoil. Self-referral keeps you in kind of a peaceful place, okay? But he's given us another way to access the field of pure potentiality, which may be the most difficult of all, okay? It's through the practice of being non-judgmental, okay? Because being judgmental is the constant being that judgmental is a constant evaluation of things as being right or wrong, good or bad. Okay, we get that. Deepak explains that constantly judging the events, circumstances, and situations in your life creates a lot of turmoil or turbulence in your internal dialogue. Think about it. If you're constantly in this mindset that this is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong, in whatever language you're using to define that, if you're constantly doing that, it creates this turbulence within your inner internal dialogue. This turbulence constricts the flow of energy between you and the feel of pure potentiality. Let me say that again. You know, mulling through our mind, we're judging this, judging that. This is good, this is bad. And again, this is right, this is wrong. We use language, different language to describe those things. And when you do that, you're creating this turbulence within your own thinking, okay? It says, when you do that, you constrict the flow of energy between you and the feel, your feel of pure potentiality. You literally squeeze the gap between your local mind and your non-local mind, blocking you from your connection to the feel of pure potentiality, okay? And as difficult as it sounds to live in a state of judgment, being non-judgmental, begin to understand what's happening when you're doing that, okay? When we are doing that, when I'm doing that, all right? You're squeezing that gap, closing that gap between your local mind in your non-local mind, blocking you from connecting to the field of pure potentiality. And many of you may be familiar with the prayer in the Course of Miracles. It states, today I shall judge nothing that occurs. Today I shall judge nothing that occurs. Many of you know that prayer from the Course of Miracles. And as I share, this can be the toughest spiritual practice of all. But the practice of non-judgment creates silence in your mind. And that is what we're striving for, so we can hear that still, small voice that can lead us to our true self, our higher self, the feel of pure potentiality. So it's a good idea to begin your day with a statement. You get up in the morning, you know, you do your morning, you might have a morning meditation or prayer or whatever, and you say, today I shall judge nothing that occurs. Now, throughout the day, remind yourself of that statement each time you catch yourself being judgmental. And if you find that practicing this procedure for the whole day seems too difficult, then say to yourself, okay, I'm going to do it for the next 2 hours. If that's too long, the next hour, okay? The next hour, I will not judge anything. And then over time, try to keep extending it gradually, okay? So this exercise of gradually increasing time spent in your daily spiritual practices works well in all of the spiritual practices. In other words, if you can only be in the silence for a few minutes, if you can only meditate for a few minutes, you only can be in prayer for a few minutes, you know, do what you can. Remember, Maharishi, lay down a net. It's very, very shallow water. You'll still get wet. You'll still get some power from the exercise. And over time, just keep extending it, okay? See, we are all looking to grow spiritually, even if that intent is not in the forefront of our mind. Okay? It is who we are as conscious or unconscious spiritual beings. So why not be conscious about it and move towards your true self with conscious intent? Okay? Now I'm going to end with this advice from Reverend Jesse. He posted this in Unity website. And this is what he said. He said, the funny thing about the divine is that sometimes it gradually and gracefully moves through us on a subconscious level that we don't even realize that a force beyond our conscious awareness is at work. And that is a very true statement. A lot of times this is happening within us, we don't even know it's happening within us. And he goes on to say, our ability to grow and evolve is directly proportionate to the quality of our connection to our inner world, our outer environment, and to other people. In other words, our connections speed up our personal evolutionary process. So it's not about just working on these things inside yourself. You have to also be able to work on them in connection with other people, by the people in your life, you know, being non-judgmental, being loving, being compassionate. You know, you have to practice outside of yourself these things you're practicing inside of yourself. And whether we know it or not, he says, on a very basic level, there's a part of us that is confident in our ability to form the right relationships at the right time that is necessary for us to move to the next level of spiritual evolution. Okay. Some very powerful words from him. So I'm going to end with this affirmation for the coming week. And it is, I am empowered by my increased awareness, and I accept and embrace who I am. I have faith in my value and my role in the world. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So Unity family, let's prepare ourselves to be centered and find that comfortable place right where you are. Turn away from the world around you for a moment of stillness and a moment of tranquility. We take this time to pause. Take a deep breath and feel your body begin to relax. Breathe out any tension and breathe in serenity of spirit. Take another easy breath and allow my words to be the words of your very own heart. Today I am filled with the gifts of spirit. I am filled with a joyous feeling in my heart. I am a spiritual being living this human life, blessed by spirit in the most miraculous ways. The peace and joy of spirit fills my heart and my mind. I am immersed in the comfort and joy of God's love. Today, I am blessed with the gift of life. My mind and body are whole and well. I am restored to full vitality. My body is a temple that easily and gracefully moves me through my life. Today, God guides my life and leads me to my highest good. God's loving guidance is always with me, uplifting and encouraging me as I move forward on my life's journey. Please join me now in the silence where you may pray, receive answers to your prayers, and remain still. Before I leave this time of stillness, I remember that I am blessed and I am a blessing. I am filled with joy and go about my day as a blessing to myself and others. I also remember that Spirit is available to me at any time, day or night. Spirit is always with me. Thy will is being done. And now gently come back to your surroundings and rejoin with your Unity family. We give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen.
Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
That was wonderful. So, this is the time we open our hearts and give thanks for all the blessings that come into our lives. And so we use this prosperity prayer to just be thankful for all that we have, all that we give, all that we receive. So holding those thoughts in mind of the blessings in your life, let's say our prosperity prayer together.
Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me.
Amen.
Amen.
And then this next blessing is our offering blessing for all the wonderful donations that come in to support your spiritual home, your spiritual family here at Unity Center of Light. So holding your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, let's say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. Amen. And now we have Light Notes.
Yes, all right. Thank you. It's time once again to consider our annual commitments to the Unity Center of Light. This is about our financial support as well as our internal reflections and commitment to our spiritual growth in consciousness and creating the life we want to live. The fillable forms are in your updates and e-newsletter. If you have difficulty returning the form, after filling it out, please call Patty or email her. February 11th, we have Reverend Paul Hasselbeck back with us for our Sunday message and meditation, and he's going to give us a metaphysical romp workshop immediately following the service. On Sunday, February the 14th, Lent begins, and so does Valentine's Day. Let go and let God. The Lent discussion group begins Wednesdays on Zoom at 7 p.m. through March 27th. with Joe Blackstone, Kathleen Bailey, and April May. They will be facilitating. We are hosting two town hall meetings to discuss how we are preparing for the future of Unity Center of Light and preparing for our annual membership meeting. On February the 18th, we will have a virtual town hall meeting, and on March the 3rd, we will have an in-person town hall meeting. Please mark your calendars, as these meetings are very important. And the final announcement is Sunday, February the 14th. Oh, I'm sorry, we've already said that, so there are no more announcements. I'm complete.
Yes, let me just emphasize again the importance of coming to the town hall, because we are going to be discussing, like I said, the future of Unity Center of Light, and you know, your part in it, and we want your voice about what we'll be presenting. So we look forward to seeing you there. One more thing?
I do have one more announcement.
Go ahead.
Very important. Unity Center of Light is looking for one more good candidate to fill a position on the Board of Trustees starting April of 2024. Board members are expected to understand basic Unity principles and demonstrate integrity and commitment. Email Patty or call her for more information. Thank you.
Okay, good. All right, so what time is it?
It's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week. We're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal
and gusto.
Together,
I go forward in the spirit of the Lord.
Knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous,
and I am grateful. All right. You're right to our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine. And all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So it's been our pleasure to bring you this service today. And we look forward to seeing you next week.
Next week, yes.
Yeah, if we didn't see you today in person. All right. All right. Well, have a wonderful week. Hey.
Bye-bye.